News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. That is indeed what we are, saving the world one sound bite at a time, I like to say. Hey, I got a caller on line one that hung on through the break, and I certainly appreciate that, so let me just grab it real quick. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, how you doing today?
Mighty fine. I hope you folks are as well. And
absolutely.
I enjoyed listening to your last guest. I do not know who I'm voting for at this time, but as far as not having a modem attached to anything or it not being hardwired, all these machines have to have some kind of means of updating them. And a lot of them might be wireless. So I can take my phone and I can make a hotspot and it never has to go through a modem or anything else.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's true. And I, you know, something tells me, and I don't recall where I heard this, Brian, that they actually have to do, they don't do an air gap. They actually have to have a hardwire connection. In other words, they bring a computer over to it and they plug in and they download the next layer of, you know, software updates. I don't know for a fact.
Yes. And you can take a hardwire in there and put in a wireless connection. So,
yeah, the question would be, did they have that the
places,
night of the election?
I don't think it happened in Alabama because they've been so concise.
Yeah, and they had some of those machines, and I've forgotten the name of the company. It was very controversial. It's, you know, there's lawsuits back and forth that they were definitely connected to the internet, and some are saying that the votes did change during the night. Dinesh D'Souza's got his new movie coming out. I haven't seen it yet. Have you?
Oh, 2,000 Mules. I've not seen it yet, but I look forward to seeing it.
Absolutely. I heard him interviewed this morning on another show, and yep, I think we need to watch it. All right, Brian. Hey, man, thanks for the call. Appreciate you. Have a good weekend. All right. So, yeah, folks, elections matter, and election integrity matters. I was proud to be in the Alabama State Senate when we passed voter ID laws. And I'm going to be honest with you, there was all this stuff, how racist it was, which is such an insult, as if minorities don't know how to get a voter ID. You know, that, I mean, well, you're disenfranchising the voters. No, we're not. We're making sure that they know their vote counts. I mean, it's one vote, one person, right? One person, one vote. That's the mantra. You don't want one person, five votes. No. You don't want to be Uniontown, Alabama, where the city clerk hadn't even given a thought to the fact that 125% of the population voted in the 2012 municipal elections. You don't want to be my client when, as an attorney, I went to bat for her over the fact that she lost by one vote, and we found nine that should have been counted. Now, when we opened them, it still went 5-4 or something like that in the opening. And, you know, granted, she still lost by one vote in the end, even though we won the case by proving that nine votes hadn't been correctly counted. So it was like a victory with a loss. This happens all the time. Or about what's happening with Mac Butler in Etowah County, who just found out that as people are already voting absentee for his election, that thousands of his voters had not been properly allocated to the district correctly, which would have totally jacked up the vote. I mean, thousands? There's no way that would have gone well. It would have been a complete mess. There would have been a revote. Folks, I'm just telling you, you have to account for human error, and you have to account for human subterfuge, and you have to account for mechanical error, and you have to account for things that are just going to happen as a matter of course, and some that should never happen again. And when you look at the way things have gone in our country on elections, they matter. I mean, do not try and tell me for a second that I know Trump's personality was his own biggest enemy. It just was. Some people couldn't take it. I was the person who voted for policy before personality, although, you know, his personality, I find it to be pretty cool too sometimes. Granted, he might have mean tweets, and you think, does a guy ever sleep? And yeah, he's quirky. He's got his own personality. All of us do. But the truth of the matter is, would you rather have him right now? Because I know I would. And I'm going to tell you, if you watched his campaign, it had all the energy of a winning campaign. He had the ability to go out and do epic level stadium filled, rallies in the middle of a pandemic. And Joe Biden had the most lackluster, pathetic, you know, disorganized campaign where he sat in his basement most of the time. And when he did go out, they were well-managed. Everybody wore masks. They sat inside of little circles, and they were limited to the number, and they would clap, and you really couldn't hear anything. They would try to show, pretend there's a crowd, but if the camera panned back, there was nobody there. And he had 84 million votes? Well, I'm just saying. I question it. And if you want to question me for questioning it, you go right ahead. But unless you're the thought police, oh, by the way, they're coming. Unless you're the thought police, I have a right to question. All right, I know the music's coming. There it is. We're moving to a break right now and coming back to number two on the Triple Dipper. Yes, indeed, the thought police. I'm calling it Biden's Ministry of Truth. And then top of the hour, our own Congressman Mo Brooks will be calling in. We'll have a talk with him about that very thing. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. You want to call in and talk about these things? 866-494-9866. We'll take those calls. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. So, yeah, I love the fact that I've got an audience out there filled with people that call themselves Right Side Ruffians. I was having breakfast with somebody this morning, and I said that. I said, my audience, you know, they're all called Right Side Ruffians. They loved that. And so, yeah, I think we need to have some more T-shirts printed up, Copper, because Right Side Ruffian just resonates, I think, right now with the attitude of the electorate. Nice. What do you think? Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, I'm going to look into that. Because we're going to have to give away some T-shirts pretty soon. We're going to hit that 50,000 mark in our downloads pretty soon. That's an epic time to give away T-shirts, don't you think?
Indeed.
I think we should. Okay, we'll figure that out. All right, we're going to do that. Hey, folks, by the way, one of the groups that has been with us since the very beginning, we have what we call our team members. They're direct sponsors of the show. We have advertisers that are oftentimes through the station, but our direct sponsors are people like ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions has been doing an epic job at putting people in Alabama back to work. And I don't mean like just during the pandemic. I'm talking about pre-pandemic all the way up to now. We had Andrew Ford, the president and CEO of ZLA, on the show the other day talking about what it's been like to try and find workers. And it's tough, but they're good at it. So ZLA Solutions, you can find their website at ZLAUSA.com. If you're looking for a job, you can go to their website. They've got jobs posted all over North Alabama. Great jobs. A lot of them with high-paying wages, benefits. But if you're an employer and you're looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce, you need like a group of employees. That's their bread and butter, man. I mean, they can do things like handle your quality control, your sorting and containment, your logistical solutions, but their bread and butter literally is staffing. And if you need a group of folks, they can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. ZLA Solutions, they like to say, at ZLA, we don't make it, we just make it better. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Check them out. Tell them you heard about it on the Right Side. All right, we're in number two of the Triple Dipper. Coming up top of the hour, our own Congressman Mo Brooks is going to call in. I wanted to hear what he had to say about the new Department of Homeland Security Office of Disinformation. We're calling it the Ministry of Truth. I did a monologue yesterday, which, by the way, if you check out my social media right now, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Sen Phil Williams, S-E-N Phil Williams, at Sen Phil Williams right now, we've posted yesterday's monologue, which wound up hitting the mark. I mean, it's one of those days where you go, okay, I think we were firing on all cylinders. We did the monologue, and then turns out Tucker did the same monologue, and, you know, others, Hannity. It's the top story in the nation right now. So we've promoted yesterday's monologue. It's up there. You can catch it if you want to. It's also in our podcast. But, yeah, what we're talking about there, in case you have not heard, I'll back you up and give you the scoop. In the wake of Elon Musk buying Twitter, which seems to, in my opinion, call it circumstantial, I recognize what evidence can be considered the best evidence and what not. But in the wake of Elon Musk buying Twitter, it would appear to me to be a direct connection to the fact that suddenly, oh, Lord, we got to have an office of disinformation. An office of what? Disinformation. That's important. We got to make sure that people are out there telling the truth. You're going to have a government office for seeking out whether someone is telling the truth? That's right. Well, Secretary of State, Secretary of Department of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas dropped that bomb on Congress the other day during a congressional hearing. By the way, this is not in the planning stages. They have already appointed a chief undersecretary policy guy. He's an undersecretary. They've appointed a chief legal counsel. That's an attorney. And they have already hired an executive director who is a whack job. She's like this 33-year-old skull full of mush with a degree from Georgetown who has been doing crazy things on the internet. She has been a spreader of disinformation, and she works at the Wilson Center, which is a highly renowned think tank, but also recognized as being center-left. And she's going to be in charge of deciding whether or not you and I are telling the truth on Twitter. What? Who thinks this is? Who in their right mind thinks this is a good idea? Well, apparently the Biden administration. So that's what's happening. I'm going to play a clip for you in a minute to give you an idea of the whack job they are now hiring to be the executive director of the Office of Disinformation. I'm going to see if I can play it more than 10 seconds, because I don't know that I can, because, you know, it's fun to do things, you know, I mean, you're out with your friends, you go to karaoke night, whatever else, you know, you have a good time, you're talking to a guy who loves to play with his grandkids and sing silly songs. I mean, I just do. It's another thing to go out there, call yourself a professional, tout your world-renowned qualifications, which she does, and then sing a silly song to make a professional point. She literally took a song from Mary Poppins, Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. It's going to be in your head all day now. I know it is. But she took that song and rewrote it about the dangers of disinformation and did a video and posted it online, because that's what professionals do, apparently. Yeah, you're going to hear this in a minute. I don't know how long we can get into it. But look, before I get into her and the things that she's planning, let's talk about what's happening at Twitter. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it's everywhere. I have literally been picking up new followers like every 20 minutes. I bet I've picked up two or three dozen new followers in the last day and a half. That never happens. Now, do I have followers? Yes. I mean, I'm not one of those million followers. I'm somewhere in the neighborhood of like 50. Oh, I can look at it right now. I'm at 4,500 according to this right here. 4,561 followers. And they're organic. I mean, I've just been building them, and I've been rejecting them. I mean, you can always tell when it's a bot. Hi, I be your friend. No. Hi, my name is Nadia. I be your friend. Look for a personality like you. No. And I just hit no. So I've probably just, you know, not received 1,000, you know, over the years. But what's happening at Twitter right now? Well, here's a story from Daily Caller. All right, stop talking, Phil. Go to your sources. Story from Daily Caller, dated yesterday. Twitter offers an explanation for why conservatives are mysteriously gaining followers. You see, I'm not the only one. it's pretty epic. I mean, depending upon the scale of your Twitter account, it's exponential. It's a pro rata kind of dropping in of new followers. Me, I've got several dozen. Donald Trump Jr. found 87,000 new followers in a day. A day. tell me something's not up. Tell me somebody didn't flip the magic switch over at Twitter. All right. In fact, Donald Trump Jr. said, this appears to be Twitter burning the evidence before the new management gets there. Well, so yeah, listen to this. Over 70% of the official Twitter accounts belonging to Republican members of Congress grew in followers since Tuesday. However, of the 270 official Twitter accounts belonging to Democratic lawmakers, 268 of those lost followers. Bernie Sanders lost 21,000 and Nancy Pelosi lost 14,000. So you've got like Ohio Representative Jim Jordan, Republican Representative Jim Jordan had 63,000 new followers since Tuesday. Don't tell me something's not up. Well, Twitter's saying, well, it appears to be organic. That's Twitter's excuse. Well, this appears to be an organic growing. No, it doesn't. One organization called Bot Sentinel, which is an application that monitors, you know, inauthentic social media, they say this does not pass the smell test. I think what we're seeing here, to be honest with you, is a liberating of the shadow bans that have been put on people they don't want Elon Musk to see, and also a destroying of the bots that have been plussing up the Democrats' accounts all this time. I think that's what's happening. Well, so who is this knucklehead that they put in charge? Well, her name is Nina Jankowicz. So Nina Jankowicz is a disinformation fellow from the Wilson Center. She has a degree, like I said, a master's degree, I believe, from Georgetown. She's obviously a smart person, but she has no common sense. She's labeled as a disinformation fellow. She's been known to sing some pretty foul-mouthed videos on Twitter. She's big into Harry Potter and got a Harry Potter-based band together, and they sang in clubs, but they usually sang about liberal causes. She has, over time, issued things like the fact that, in her opinion, the Hunter Biden laptop was Russia disinformation, and that, you know, things that we see right now with the Steele dossier had to have been real, and yet she's going to be in charge of determining disinformation. Copper, you good with that clip? I mean, I'm not good with it, but you got clip one ready? You good to go? Okay, listen, this is a professional who has just been hired by the Department of Homeland Security, not the CIA, the NSA, worrying about foreign actors, the people that are going to monitor you and I, just hired this person because allegedly she's smart on disinformation. It's 3:47. Copper, go ahead and move us to the break. This thing's a scream. I'm going to want you to hear it. So we will get our clip sorted and see if we can get that playing for you, at least for the full 10 seconds that I can stand it. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Friday afternoon, and we are still solid conservative and just plain right. Copper, do we have the right clip now?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right. This is Nina Jankowicz, who is janky, and she is singing a Mary Poppins song in her professional capacity from her office about disinformation. And she's now scheduled to be your new disinformation czar for the Department of Homeland Security. Play the clip.
Information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious. It's how you hide a little idle lie. It's how you hide a little idle lie. It's how you hide a little idle lie when Rudy Giuliani shared bad intel from Ukraine.
Stop! Stop! Okay, that's all I can do. I can't. How long did I go? Was it like 12,
23 seconds?
God, my.
Oh, boy.
I don't know that I can have dinner now. But anyway, folks, that's the person. That's the person. Copper, are you inspired? Do you feel comfortable knowing that person's in charge of disinformation?
That is atrocious.
That was just bad. I mean, I don't even care if you're a Mary Poppins fan. That's just bad. And I'm not even saying don't have a sense of humor. That's just bad. That was the most unprofessional thing I think I had ever seen. And by the way, you saw the video when it was playing, didn't you, Copper?
Oh, yeah. She looks ridiculous.
And I mean, she's all in, right? I mean, she's she is just short of being in full costume. I mean, she is like, you know, waving her arms in the air and having a big, big time and flouncing her hair. And I'm thinking, and she's a professional. And she's going to be in charge of the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Disinformation, which has to be the most controversial appointment maybe made ever in the United States. Okay, so let me ask you this. I'll tell you what, Copper, you give me your opinion. What do you think would have happened? What would you think would have happened if it was Donald Trump who had formed an Office of Disinformation?
Oh, they would have taken him to court.
Oh, do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that. I don't know that we would have not just seen like some type of a nuclear explosion happen at CNN and MSNBC. It would have been of epic. You could have heard them squealing in the hallways with delight as they found the new thing to attack Trump on, I think.
That's true. They pretend they're outraged, but they're really glad for an opening.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it creates a target-rich environment for them when stuff like that happens. But that's all the Democrats have done for us. And I'll be honest with you. There are some common-sense Democrats who are probably sitting in their office face-palming right now because they don't know how in the world they got stuck with this leadership. And I'll say this, too, by the way. This is the Department of Homeland Security. This is not... You know, the CIA working on foreign actors trying to bring influence into the United States. This is not counterintelligence from, you know, a military perspective, or for that matter, even psyops against a foreign bad actor on a war zone. No. This is the Department of Homeland Security designing an opportunity for them to now monitor us. The question is going to be, what level of enforcement do they have? Well, story on National Review. Calling her the free speech czar. The story is called Biden's Ministry of Truth, dated today. National Review, David Harsanyi wrote the piece. He says, a federal speech czar, just as the founders imagined it, no doubt. Earlier this week, it says, the Department of Homeland Security, like I've been saying, Alejandro Mayorkas told Congress he's forming it, the Disinformation Office. It gets tedious to point this out, but he says what I just said a moment ago, that you can vividly imagine the thermonuclear meltdown. Oh, that's okay. I should have. Anyway, there it is. He goes on to talk about the fact that the same administration that's going to monitor disinformation through this nut job who just sang the Mary Poppins songs to us is also the same one that, with a straight face, told us that a $3.5 trillion spending bill costs $0, or that showing an ID when you vote is tantamount to Jim Crow 2, or that your sex relies entirely on your perception. Okay. It's a great read, National Review. I like their stuff. But she also points out, he also points out that Jankowicz is known for her own, you know, pretty epic levels of disinformation. That's it. Would you just say, Copper, what about Disney?
Oh, well, Disney owns Mary Poppins, so they're probably thrilled by this, buying off government officials behind the scenes.
Then again, is that a copyright infringement? Could it be?
I don't care. Yeah. It's liberal. Use it however you want, and you know, creative license or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what. Coming up, top of the hour, we're going to take that news break here in just about a minute or two. And when we do, coming back from that, our own Congressman Mo Brooks, who's up there in D.C. fighting the conservative battles, we're going to ask him what he thinks about this. Give him an opportunity to speak to the issue and tell us firsthand, is there something that we can do about this? And would Congress, in a Republican wave, in the midterms, would Congress come back from the midterms and shut the sucker down? That's what I want to know. Do they have the authority? It's an executive office. Certainly they have the power of the purse. But don't you think that a Republican majority could look at the Biden administration and say, you know that thing you want, that thing that we had agreed to? We don't agree anymore. How do you like us now? I mean, there's got to be some leverage that can be brought to bear on something like this. And a Republican supermajority needs to just whack it like, you know, just whack it like a mule. Just whack it. Well, we'll see. I don't know. We're going to talk to Mo Brooks and find out. I think, too, I've got a piece here that I pulled off the Federalist, which I thought was well done. And it has the 100 things that Elon Musk-owned Twitter should now allow people to say without getting banned. It's got 100 different things that have resulted in bans. I'm going to ask you guys to call in and tell me what you think might be on the list. There's 100 of them. Surely to goodness, some of y'all have got some of them in your mind. But we'll talk to Mo Brooks first, and then we'll do that. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. Almost go home time. We'll be right back.